Thank you for such a warm welcome, and I'd like to say good afternoon to all faculty, students from all of Berkeley campuses, distinguished guests, family, and friends watching and listening today. So we're here for Save Our Site conference, diabetes. And what is diabetes? Diabetes mellitus, it's a metabolic disease and chronic condition associated with high levels of glucose, sugar in the blood. There is an insufficient natural production of the hormone insulin in the body. Diabetes is stage one of diabetic retinopathy, and left untreated, unmanaged, or undetected, it will progress into stage two, which is called non-proliferative, or stage three, known as proliferative, thereby causing blindness. Why did I even begin with nutrition or get involved in this type of an industry? Well, at the age of 18, I made a mindful choice that I would be a vegetarian and concentrate on food and exercise science as a lifestyle. It was 1985, and I had just finished reading a book called Fit for Life by the Diamonds, and it altered my perception of animal meat forever. So as the multi-billion dollar fast food industry was just beginning to carve out their niche on our human health and grow in popularity for convenience, and the 99-cent meal was appealing to most, I boycotted it. How could I possibly be hungry an hour later after I just finished consuming their signature meal of two old beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun with a large fries and Coke? It made no sense to me. I know some of you are probably getting hungry right now. But something was wrong, at least I thought so. So I began to research about food science. I also wanted to understand why I was also thirsty and had a terrible case of heartburn after I just finished eating an Italian deli sandwich with the finest of processed sodium-enriched cold cuts like pepperoni, soprassato, capicola, mozzarella, and mortadella. I began to collect data on macronutrients and the relationship that carbohydrates and proteins have on energy within the body, and the way that excessive salt intake affects blood pressure. I also splurged on a copy of Vegetarian Times and Psychology Today to feed my interests of cleaner eating and altered belief systems. After all, both my maternal Italian grandmother and paternal Polish grandmother had diabetes. Chachi, the Polish word for aunt, grandma's sister, also went blind from untreated diabetes and most likely had proliferative diabetic retinopathy. And being the youngest female of 27 first cousins, I observed a thing or two about the relationship between one's emotions and their selection of food. There was no such thing as pasta day. We ate macaroni before almost every dinner main course, and bread and wine was always on the dinner table. We never had to question if sauce was called gravy. It was loaded with every piece of fine pork, beef, and homemade meatballs. So if both sets of grandparents have or had diabetes, you assume you will also get it. Well, I believe we can defy what we are predisposed to by taking control of what and when we choose to feed ourselves on a daily basis, what type of activities we engage in on a regular basis, and how we manage external situations penetrating our own mindset. We need to begin to change behavior patterns. Genetics and our culture may define our past, but do not have to dictate our future. A CBT, Cognitive Brain Technique, scientific journal published by Professor Jason Satterfield states that our genetics only make up about 30% of our overall health, with social and behavioral patterns accounting for over 55% combined, environment about 5%, and healthcare and medicine at roughly 10%. He suggests that we first have to reprogram our minds and put a value on our own health and rate it on a scale of maybe 1 to 5, with a 5 being the most important, and then to do this for a few other aspects of life that are important to us, like family, jobs, partner, education. Most of us value earning money or how many likes there are earned in social media more than our actual own health. Yet there are certain adherent habits that we've developed since childhood. We wake up and brush our teeth every day, and certain patterns have been developed and ingrained. But when we become teenagers and then an adult, structure seems conforming and restricting, so we begin to bypass basic guidelines and basic framework, and eventually have no framework for routine success. We remain on a quest for freedom and all responsibilities. Our minds begin to become a little deceptive, and emotion takes over rather than pure logic. Yet in my experience and practice, consistency is the very essence that helps measure progress. Through CBT understanding, we learn to also set up SMART goals in order to self-manage our results. We need to be specific about what you want to achieve. We need to be able to measure and assess it. It needs to be relevant to strategy, and it needs to be timely. It's important to concentrate more on the process as opposed to the outcome. Maintain a daily food journal in the beginning to take general inventory of what you're actually eating and the time of day that you're consuming it. Jot down what emotion you may or may not have had before or afterwards. Once we practice the habit of daily self-control and kindness to ourselves, we are able to reduce cravings, and then we eat with less anxiety and attitude distortion. So we want to be able to balance perspective. What connects you then to a greater meaning? And what connects your physical health to a greater meaning? Find meaning, find purpose, find value. My dad died last year from a massive stroke, and he was in a 10-day coma, but I'm not sharing this with you for any reason other than to help you understand what transpired between my siblings and the attitude behavior of my soon-to-be 80-year-old mother, who'd be a widow after 56 years of marriage. Ma struggled with diabetes for years, and it progressed into type 1 a few years ago, requiring her to take pharmacological drugs like Januvia and Novolog insulin and Coreg to also help regulate high blood pressure. Like most of us in a stressful situation, all she wanted to indulge in while Dad lay there motionless was eating to gain a feeling of satiety foods like fried chicken, French fries, a big bowl of macaroni, otherwise known by many as comfort food. With stress and grief and anxiety issues, sugar levels escalated to 300, and I knew such danger zones would lead to a potential cardiac arrest. Ma, do you realize that you are creating an extra burden upon us because you refuse to take care of yourself? You're liable to go into cardiac arrest if you don't find a meaning still for existence here. What you do and how you take care of yourself affects all of us. She could have chosen to be selfish and not care, but she didn't. We all respond to stress and pain differently. What are some ways we respond? Smoking, chocolate, cookies, alcohol. It doesn't make it wrong. It just reminds us that the choices that we make and the ways that we choose to communicate these messages to ourselves is the determining factor that contributes to additional onset issues like obesity. I should also mention that diabetes does not only affect obese individuals. You can be diagnosed with diabetes as a skinny or an underweight person also. A skill set needs to be developed where certain tempting stimulus is either controlled or omitted. And there needs to be some type of automaticity to the self-management system that gets put in place. Professor Stephen Novella of Yale School of Medicine supports the use of critical thinking skills as a scientific guide in understanding how the mind is always in a debate with one's emotions. We need to get out of contemplative mode, then into action phase, then ultimately into a program. What might once seem like a major change may eventually soon become habitual. I'm happy and proud to share that Ma is following a better meal program that I helped design for her, and her A1C level is down to 6.1. She still struggles with coping skills to counteract a food addiction, but shows major improvement in her overall well-being. But what is then the motivation to do this and stick with it on a daily basis? We need to regulate our glycemic levels, and this then becomes our treatment and prevention against diabetes. The rise in a person's blood sugar level 2 hours after consumption of food Glycemic effect of food has to do with the type of carbohydrate and proteins ingested in each meal, thereby assessing the insulin response. Such management is essential in avoiding diabetic retinopathy. In my experience and practice, I have found that people by nature know that they shouldn't eat pizza every day or indulge in a whole box of cookies at a time they live in a punishment and reward phase far too long, and they become what I like to refer to as adolescent adults. They justify their choices based upon the circumstances occurring in their lives. They get a review from the PCP, the primary care physician, which might be unfavorable, and it's like a total surprise that they're either overweight or have advanced hyperlipidemia. It's another word for high cholesterol, or diabetes. But if you haven't prepared for the exam, why expect a different result? I've already spoken about setting up SMART goals, but I'd like to give you additional tools to put inside your toolbox, showing ways to start building a system for preventing diabetes, or at least reversing the progression of it. At the end of my discussion today, if you pay attention, you will have enough tools to start building your very own healthy lifestyle and start unlocking the keys to your own healthy future. So just by a show of hands, how many people had breakfast today? And how many of you had lunch today? All right, did anyone have dinner last night? Okay. Seems like more of you eat dinner than the actual breakfast or lunch. Skipping meals or snacks is not an option nor a negotiable format when attempting to regulate blood glucose. So I'm going to help simplify the process for you of figuring out when and what to eat. SMART strategy rule number one, eat every 3 to 4 hours, hungry or not. Our body is like a fine-tuned machine. If we take care of it, as I said before, we humans now take care of our technology better than we take care of our own bodies. So let's read this one together again. Eat every 3 to 4 hours, hungry or not. Do the math, figure out how many hours a day you are awake, and then divide it by the 3 or 4 hour increment for how many times a day you should be consuming food. There's many ways to be successful at this. In today's world, we have numerous apps, alarms on smartphones. The key is to support yourself with the whole PIE. Be practical in your food selection and bear in mind informational resources and nutrient values listed on packaging so that you don't always eat out of emotion. It's the same system that you'd use in setting up a support system of friends to help you through some of the process. We all have people in our lives that we think of as practical support and those that are informational and those that support our emotions. Try to communicate a supportive methodology to oneself that feeds all three, in other words, the whole piece of pie of support. SMART strategy rule number two, always combine a protein with a carbohydrate. A donut is not a meal. A cup of coffee is not a meal. A bagel is not a meal. A bag of chips is not a meal. It's rather simple, and Lucho Crissel, a registered dietitian that I studied under, phrased, if it walks, swims, or flies, it's a protein. Chicken, fish, and turkey are all sources of protein, but we need to remember the benefits of vegetarian proteins, such as beans, nuts, and greens. We gain enriched vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes in these plant-based food sources. Not to mention, these also help to reduce the CO2 footprint on the environment and climate, but that's another topic for conversation. SMART strategy rule number three, memorize exchanges of macronutrients as being the following. One protein exchange equals 7 grams or 1 ounce. One carbohydrate exchange equals 15 grams. One fat exchange equals 5 grams. So although Dr. Walter Kempner, who came up with the rice diet back in the 1950s and fed several diabetic retinopathy patients nothing but rice, sugar, and fruit, and actually healed several diabetic patients by drastically reducing their blood glucose levels, the body required supplements since it was starved of enriched vitamins like B and D and other resources that micronutrients provide. We cannot deprive the body of essential resources of optimum energy to fuel the body, nor can we deprive the human body from sodium, which helps regulate fluids in the body, or monounsaturated fat grams, which aid in the reduction of LDL and help lower heart disease. We are human. We are not from the animal kingdom. We do not have to eat large quantity and store it as fat the way cavemen did. In contrast, don't be fooled by celebrities promoting intermittent fasting to get in shape for the Oscars or recent movie role. A process of gluconeogenesis becomes the body's fuel, and one's own lactate in the muscles become the purest energy. Although a sense of alertness is felt, and weight loss is the initial result since it uses ketones as energy, it would be difficult to sustain the path in a lifelong lifestyle. The body is therefore naturally prone to diabetic tendencies, and when it enters hyper or hypoglycemia too often, it leads you prone to diabetes. I'm teaching you long-term strategies for diabetic disease prevention, as well as prevention towards many other diseases that plague our society. So here's food combinations: proteins and carbohydrates. 2 to 3 ounces of chicken with 1 baked sweet potato. 2 to 3 ounces of salmon with 1 cup of quinoa. 2 to 3 ounces of turkey breast. Maybe a slice of whole grain toast. 1 cup of lentils, 1 cup of quinoa, 10 to 50 almonds, 1 omelet. So we want to try and do all of these combinations either broiled, grilled, or baked, not fried. Try to drink 8 ounces of water with each meal or snack instead of soda or juice. It's not up here, but there is another bonus rule, which is when choosing carbohydrates, try to avoid one where the sugar content is more than 20% of the overall carbohydrate value. I've used this example with a variety of patients and asked them to juice an orange and assess how much juice you get. To equal 8 ounces, you'd probably have to juice 4 oranges, which means 4 times the amount of carbohydrate exchanges and 4 times the amount of sugar. So juices and soda are empty calories that are adding to the excess sugar in the bloodstream. If you want to make some smarter food choices, you want to avoid, like we said, the juices and flavored coffees. You want to avoid fried foods or fast food, white rice, white bread, red meat, packaged foods. You want to choose the water whenever possible. You want to choose baked, grilled, or steamed. You'd like to try and cook at home more often. You'll also save some money. Whole grain you want to choose, either fish, chicken, turkey, and vegetables. And you want to always attempt to buy fresh produce. Excess sugar and fat will also raise triglycerides and contribute to the fatty liver disease and alter one's own immunity defense mechanisms. Too much sugar intake will affect the way that information is processed in the brain, thereby leading you onto a constant cycle of highs and lows chemically and emotionally. The medical industry treats diabetes with insulin, but diabetes is a dietary disease and it should be treated predominantly with healthy food consumption. According to the WHO, World Health Organization, diabetes grew worldwide from 4.7% in 1980 to 8.5% in 2014. That's almost double. And in 2017 alone, there's over 25.8 million Americans struggling to regulate their disease. The pharmacological insulin drug alone will not alleviate disease. It may treat the symptom only, and in fact, evidence has proven that a diet with healthy macronutrients and vitamins and minerals will ward off most diseases. But the medical industry will treat the symptom, but not the cause. Food is your science and medicine. Healthy activity is your medicine. So it's not always about exercise and being in a gym for all 2 to 3, 4 hours a day, but movement is the marriage to healthy nutrition. Socrates once said that no man has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training, and it is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which the body is capable. And activity is essential, but it's become difficult in today's world of overconsumption and hired help for household tasks. I had a conversation with an 89-year-old the other day when I asked her how she's doing, and she said, You know how I stay young? I clean my own house. I wash my own car. I mow my own lawn. I rake my own leaves. I shovel my own snow. I plant my own tomatoes. And I feel good about having done it myself. Her lawn, by the way, supersedes everyone's because she does her own weeding. The key is to stay active and active daily. The daily activities of life are essential to our well-being. Through optimum performance training techniques under the National Academy of Sports Medicine for Special Populations, I learned a variety of systems that can work well to treat many diseases, such as arthritis, hypertension, obesity. But for the sake of focusing on diabetic retinopathy and the prevention of it, we want to start with the MFIDR factor as being mode, frequency, intensity, duration, and resistance. So there's activity guidelines for diabetes. Your mode would be a potential stationary bike, cycling, treadmill, or walking, or even dancing. Your frequency would be approximately 4 to 7 times a week. Your intensity would be approximately 50 to 90% of your maximum heart rate. And to achieve that, you would take 220 minus your age, and then that amount would then get multiplied by approximately 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90%. And then that's how fast you would actually be walking. You'd have a 2-minute warm-up, 20 to 60 minutes would be your workout, and then a 2-minute cool-down. Your resistance potentially would be circuit training, lightweight, with higher reps, and you always want to keep a small snack on hand, boiled egg and small apple, to avoid sudden hypo or hyperglycemia. So here's in summary for the SOS through exercise, healthy nutrition as preventative medicine. We want to be able to try and change the behavior pattern and defy genetics. We want to be able to balance one's own perspective and begin to value your health. We want to use smart strategy rules and always bear in mind the importance of our glycemic index. We want to always use food combinations that would become habitual, and then daily activities of life versus the overall exercise. Your healthy lifestyle begins today, and I hope that you take with you the tools that I've taught you today to start building your own disease prevention against diabetic retinopathy and other diseases mentioned today. I'd like to wish all of you a very healthy upcoming holiday season. I'm grateful for the opportunity to connect with you and remind you that we are all in this world together and that the choices that we make on a daily basis make an impact on us for the rest of our lives. Thank you. I don't know if we have any time for any questions, but let me know.